Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
We do want to welcome each one along to this broadcast. We welcome you in the Saviour's worthy name. And it is our prayer the Lord will bless this time of singing and also preaching, and that you will know the Lord drawing near to you and ministering to your own heart. We're going to bow together in prayer and look to the Lord for His help and blessing just now. Our Heavenly Father, we seek Thy face in that worthy name of the Lord Jesus, Thy dear Son. We thank Thee for the one whom Thou didst give for us, the darling of Thy bosom, that He would leave the splendours of glory and come into this world in order to give Himself as a ransom for the many. And we thank Thee for that great work of Jesus Christ on that middle tree of Calvary. And in His name and upon the grounds of His atoning work, we come to Thee today. And we pray that Thou will bless us as we gather together at this time. We pray, Lord, You'll bless the truth of God. And as it is presented in song and also in the ministry of the Word of God and preaching that thou will take of the things of thyself and thou will apply them to each and every heart. And may there indeed be signs following the going forth of thy word. Abide with us now, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're going to read the Word of God, and this, our Bible reading is taken from the first book of Scripture, the book of Genesis, chapter 16. And we're going to read from verse 7 down to the end of this chapter. Genesis chapter 16, and we're beginning to read at verse 7. This is a portion that has to do with Hagar, Abraham's maidservant, and what happened to her. And in verse 7, the Word of God says, "The angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and smit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and thou shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahairoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his holy and precious inspired word. We're going to have another hymn just now. It's the hymn, Come Now, Come Every Soul by Sin Oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word.
Thank you.
want to turn your thoughts to some words in verse 13 of this portion of Scripture that we have just read from a moment or two ago. They're the words of Hagar when she said, "Thou, God, seest me. Thou, God, seest me." It says she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, "Thou, God, seest me." As I mentioned, this is a portion of Scripture that deals with Hagar. And Hagar was Abraham's maidservant, and then Sarah's maid, and then also was given to Abraham as a wife also. And Hagar was caused to flee and leave the tents of Abraham over a disagreement that she had with Sarah. And it would seem that she was heading back to Egypt, for she was from the land of Egypt. We know that here from the Scriptures, that she was an Egyptian, may well have been given to Abraham by Pharaoh when Abraham sojourned at that particular time in the land of Egypt and then had to leave. And we know that Pharaoh did give to him men servants and maid servants, and it may well be that Hagar was one of those maid servants that was given unto Abraham at this particular time. But she is making her way back to Egypt. We know that from the very first verse that we read, verse 7, where it says that the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. Well, if you locate Shur on a Bible atlas, then you will discover that was in the direction of Egypt. So she's heading back to her homeland at this particular time. But we read that she comes to this fountain, and at this particular time, she has an interaction with the Lord. She maybe never expected she was going to encounter the Lord at all out in the wilderness at this particular place as she's fleeing from Sarah and from Abraham. And maybe it was the very last thing that she ever thought about or ever entered into her thinking that she would encounter the Lord. But that is what happened. And what an encounter it was. And that is why she named the Lord as she did, "Thou, God, seest me." And I want us to think about those words for a little moment. I trust that they'll enter into our heart. And just as Hagar felt that day, that you and I would feel exactly the same. "Thou, God, seest me." I pray that there will indeed be that impression created on our mind that will stay and linger with us, that God sees us. That God sees us. I want you first of all here to consider the identity of the one who saw her. The identity of the one who saw her. Because this is the first occurrence in the Scripture of that title that is given to us in verse 7, the angel of the Lord. It appears a number of times. It appears in verse 9 and verse 10 and also in verse 11, the angel of the Lord. Well, who is the angel of the Lord? And as I say, this is the very first time that it appears in the Scripture. So it's very important wherever anything appears for the first time. It's always important. There's the law of the first mention in the Scripture that gives you the key to understanding it wherever else. Either a term or a person or whatever appears, or a title, that is the case here. So when we come to this particular title, the angel of the Lord, and it appears here, as I say, four times, it's a key occurrence, and it's important that we notice it because it is a title for the second person of the Trinity. This is a pre-incarnation appearance of the Son of God. Oh, later on, many hundreds years later, the Lord, the Son of God, did indeed come in and take into union with himself true humanity. But here he is in a pre-incarnation appearance because Hagar herself identifies him to be the God. It's not an angel that has appeared unto her, although the title is angel of the Lord, but it is the angel of the Lord, or the messenger of the Lord, as the word angel means. And we are to understand that it is the Lord who has come. It is the Lord who has come. It is the Lord who knows all about her. The omniscient God, the one who knoweth all things, the one who sees every circumstance of her life up until this moment in time, and even now as she's away out in the wilderness, and there might have been another individual around about her for miles. God in heaven saw her. God in heaven saw her. That holy eye of a holy God who sees all things and knows all things had his eye upon Hagar at this particular time. You see, the Bible tells us there is no escaping the eye of God. Listen to a few verses of Scripture. It says, Psalm 139, verses 7 and 8, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." You and I cannot get away from the presence of God. There are people who would love to, who try, who run from God. We're thinking here about Hagar and she's fleeing. Well, there's many an individual and they want to run from God. You cannot run from God. No matter where you are in life, no matter where you are in this world, the eye of God is upon you and I. Amos chapter 9. Verses 2 to 4, it says, "Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves on the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out hence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them. And I will set mine eyes upon them for evil and not for good." You can't get away from God, even when you try. It is a thing impossible. And Hagar might be fleeing away from Sarah and away from the tents of Abraham, and she may be away out of their sight, and they might not know where she is. But she cannot get away from God. And it is worth remembering that. You and I cannot get away from God. God sees each one of us. You and I can take these words just like Hagar did, and we can say the same, "Thou, God, seest me." And surely that ought to make us sit up and think then, if this is true, and it is. So you have the identity of the one who saw her. I want you, secondly, to consider the initiative of the one who saw her, because we read of the angel of God doing three things. Doing three things. First of all, there in verse 7, it says that he found her. The angel of the Lord found her. He found her by the fountain of water in the wilderness. So evidently, he came searching for her and looking for her and seeking for her. She may have been on her own in this secluded place, but nevertheless, the Lord found her. The Lord is in the business of seeking individuals out. And he may well be seeking you out this very hour. It's no coincidence that you're under the sound of his word, listening to this broadcast. The Lord has a purpose in that. He has a purpose with it with regards to your soul and its eternal well-being. And it may be he's seeking you out, and he sees you where you are. He knows all the circumstances about your life, and he has come to seek you today. And he has found you. He's found you. The next thing that this angel of the Lord did was he challenged Hagar. He did it there with two questions in verse 8. He said, "Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go?" In a certain way, they could be rhetorical questions, in the sense that they don't need an answer. The Lord knows where she's been, and the Lord knows where she's going. He knows all things, but he's wanting Hagar to face up to this matter. Where have you been and where are you going? At this particular time in your life, as you consider where you are, this very moment, where have you been in the past and where are you going? Those are questions worth facing up to just now for ourselves. Where have we been? What has our life consisted of up until this point in time? Maybe we'd have to say that we're running away from God. Maybe you've heard the Lord speak in times past. This is not the first time God's word has come to your heart and to your soul. And in a sense, you're running from God. You don't want to face up to your need of Christ. But then surely that's a very important question also. Where are you going? That's the all-important question. Where are you going? That's what the Lord asked Hagar. Whither goest thou? And today I'd ask you the same. Where are you going? Not just in life. What direction is your life taking? You could answer that question. But what about eternity? Where are you going with regards to eternity? Are you heading to heaven? The place of the blessed, or are you going to hell? The place of lost souls. We're going to one or the other. And surely that's a question that the Lord would have us to face up to and answer today. Where goest thou? He spake unto her as well, it tells us. In verse 9, 10 and 11, you read there about what the angel of the Lord had to say to Hagar. Oh, he had something to say to her. It wasn't that he was lost for words and didn't have anything to say, and that, yes, he found her and he knew where she was and that was it. No, he had certain things to say to her. Certain things to say to her. The Lord has always something to say. His word is always applicable to our lives. Whatever circumstances we might find ourselves in, God's word is always something to say. It's always up to date. It's always relevant. It's always applicable to our circumstances. And it may well be the Lord will have something to say to you today. As he comes, even at this very moment, and ministers to your heart, the Lord will have something to say to you personally, individually. So there is the initiative of the angel of the Lord. I want you, in the third place, to consider the instruction of the one who saw her. Because there's a twofold instruction followed by a promise that is given here to Hagar. And the first instruction that she receives, it is in verse 9 of this portion, it is that she would return unto her mistress. Now that may not be the message that Hagar would have wanted to hear. There's been a falling out and there's been a division between them, and there has been a breach of trust and friendship, and it has caused Hagar to leave and to, as we suspect here, she's on her way down to the land of Egypt, back to her homeland, and here's the angel of the Lord coming to her, and instead of saying, well, go on, you're doing right, you're on the right course, he says, no, you need to stop and you need to turn around and you need to go back. You need to return. You need to return. You need to turn around and go in the direction that you've come. You need to go back. And that reminds us of the message of the gospel, you see, because it contains the same instruction. It tells us to return. Return unto the Lord. Because that's where we've come from, to really answer the question that the Lord asked Hagar. From whence comest thou? Well, we have to say, we've come from the Lord. We've forsook the Lord. All of humanity have forsaken the Lord, and the instruction of the Word of God, the direction of God in His Word is to return. Isaiah 55 verse 7, let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's the instruction of Scripture. Let him return. And when you think about what the angel of the Lord had to say to Hagar, you can take those words and apply them to yourself. And I have to take them and apply them to myself as well. There is a need for us to return unto the Lord. For we have forsaken the Lord. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return. Not only was she to return, but she was also to submit. Verse 9 tells us that as well. Submit thyself under her hands. Again, not something that Hagar would have wanted to hear, that she was to yield obedience in this matter unto Sarah. That would be the last thing that she would have wanted to hear. She did not want to do that. She's rebelling and heading away in the opposite direction. But the Lord says, you've got to go back and you've got to submit. Got to yield obedience. Well, I would suggest to you that that's very applicable in the gospel too. Because in returning to the Lord, we have to yield to him. Have to yield to the claims of the gospel. Have to acknowledge that we're a sinner. We need God's salvation. That we're lost and perishing. Only he can save us. We need to yield to that. We need to call upon him and to be saved and take the sinner's place. And call upon him. We need to yield obedience to the Lord today. We're to obey his command when he tells us to seek him. And to forsake our sins. Will you obey? Will you obey? There was a promise here of blessing that would follow. If she did this, the Lord says, I will bless you. I will multiply you. That's the promise of the Lord. And it is true in the gospel that when we yield to the Lord, when we return unto the Lord, it is always followed by His blessing. My friend, that's how you find and obtain the blessing of God. We have to return and we have to yield obedience. We have to submit to the Lord. That's how you find His blessing. There's no other way. That's what the Lord said to Hagar. If you do this, if you return and if you submit and yield obedience, then I'll bless you and I'll multiply you. And my friend, it's exactly the same. There's no blessing if we don't return to the Lord. There's no blessing if we don't submit to Him, yield obedience. I trust today that you'll take on board the instruction of the Word of God and that you'll obey. Hagar obeyed the Lord, tells us that. And may you obey just as well as she. May the Lord bless His Word. We'll bow together in prayer and just commit ourselves to the Lord. Our Father, we ask Thee to bless Thy Word today. Use it. Oh, may these words be stamped upon our hearts and minds. Thou, God, seest me. And we pray, Lord, that we'll be in the place of blessing, submitting in obedience. For Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.